This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's the twilight of patriotism. It means national suicide as the globalists are gleefully seeking to close down and surround the two major democracies of the world, Israel in the Middle East and America in the West. The twilight of patriotism. What does it mean? And why is it that things are intensifying? Why is it that it's as if there is a global octopus that is seeking to constrict, or perhaps it's a global boa constrictor or python seeking to wrap its arms and increasingly constrict Israel and the United States? Today on Viewpoint, you're going to see some extraordinary things that are taking place both in America and in Israel as the world is seeking to completely shut down Israel, its leadership, conservative leadership and anti-global leadership, and America's anti-global efforts. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends, because what is happening out there is happening in here. It's everywhere, and it's moving increasingly rapidly. In fact, we've talked a lot about persecution. Persecution is one element of this. Religious persecution is one element of this constricting effort by globalists to completely frustrate, prevent, and shut down all opposition so that the new global order, the Great Reset, can be implemented by 2030. And that's where we're headed here today on Viewpoint. And our viewpoint concerning this is determining destiny, and we need to understand the dynamics of what are taking place. Otherwise, we'll not know how to connect the dots and make any sense out of it. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and at root of this constriction is a war on Christianity and a war on Judaism. At root of it all is a religious war. And that's why persecution becomes so incredibly important to understand in the context of what this twilight of patriotism means in America. Well, here is the story. The town of Concord, Massachusetts, is now ashamed of its heritage. That's the place where the shot was fired heard around the world. Concord, Massachusetts. In January, it removed three historical markers, which had been in place since 1930, that commemorated the founding of the Massachusetts Bay Colony 300 years earlier. But that's not the only thing that happened so many years earlier. It was the fire, the shot heard around the world, that began the American Revolution and its battle for freedom and liberty and justice for all. The move there in Concord was based upon a recommendation from its Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, which determined that the signs harmed indigenous people, who make up 0.2% of Concord's population. What signs harmed indigenous people? Well, besides commemorating the founding of the Massachusetts Bay Colony 300 years earlier. In other words, John Winthrop, the godly attorney who landed four boatloads of Puritans in 1630 there in Massachusetts Bay, and penned what some historians have said to be the clearest expression of the American vision ever penned, called A Model of Christian Charity, are now all debunked and are to be written into not even the annals of history, but are to be debunked, defunded, and disregarded as having any meaningful relevance to be remembered or celebrated other than to be demeaned. America's hometown has turned its back on America, says Don Federer, a Jewish writer. He says, sadly, Concord reflects a growing trend, though. Increasingly, patriotism is out of fashion. According to the latest Gallup poll, only 39% of Americans are extremely proud to be an American, compared with 65% in 2004. In a 1998 Wall Street Journal survey, 70% said patriotism was very important to them. And in 1992, I guarantee you, when they were putting out yellow ribbons all over America on trees and everywhere else because of Gulf War I, patriotism was riding high and Americans were flooding back to church. Well, yes, they were. But Time magazine said church would never again be the same because Americans were looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. So even in 1992, even as a reflection of purported patriotism, we were rejecting the God who made and preserved us a nation, and we're in the process of creating a custom-made God, one made in our own image. So, Don Federer goes on to say, that's why the military consistently fails to meet its recruitment goals. Last year, the Army missed its target by almost 25%. So Federer goes on to say, Don Federer. This is not the Senator Federer. This is Don Federer, a Jewish columnist. He said, what's behind this phenomenon is no military secret. Our landscape is dotted with treason factories churning out a steady stream of anti-Americanism. Treason factories. Now, what might those be? Where the mission of public education was once to create a sense of solidarity among a diverse population, today it promotes ignorance, skepticism, and fragmentation, even hatred. Only 32% of Americans know the three branches of government, and only one-third can name a single right protected by the First Amendment. Wow. The partisanship of the mainstream media is reflected in the fact that the New York Times, our country's so-called newspaper of record, sponsors the 1619 Project, which is all about despising America, running down our history. The media generally portray patriotism as the province of only ultra-mega insurrectionist Republicans intent on destroying democracy, when in fact, it's just the opposite. Democrats think we can be the first nation in history to maintain our sovereignty without a national identity, said Federer, without anything that unites us as a people. It used to be that the fear of the Lord and the Bible united us. Remember, in God we trust? No, all of that is debunked. And the war on Christ, and yes, even the Jewish people, is a reference to behold. We're seeing it happen everywhere. The Muslim activist in Dearborn, Michigan, shouting death to America at a rally could have saved his breath because the decline of patriotism is a prescription for national suicide. Do you agree? Stay tuned, friends. We have so much to talk about here today on Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. Today, we're looking at the twilight of patriotism, a means of national suicide. We're also looking at what is behind it, and that is the radical, rapid pursuit of globalism as opposed to national sovereignty, not only of America, but of Israel and all of the other nations of the earth. The goal is to resurrect the Tower of Babel that God said he despised in Genesis chapter 11, because the world must be coming to its final declaration of glory against God and in favor of man's ultimate rulership without God as a manifestation of Satan's final effort to rule the world, as he declared from the Mount of God in the heavens so many millennia ago. And so, again, here on Viewpoint, we discuss the issues that matter the most from God's eternal perspective. This very morning, I was sitting in a chiropractor's office, and a gentleman sat a few seats away from me, and we engaged in conversation. I asked him what he did, and he told me that he was a high school principal in a prominent high school in our general area. And so I indicated to him that years ago, I had been a public school teacher in California during the period of time in which it was the most dramatic period of time, the very fulcrum turning point of American public education from 1967 to 1975. Everything changed, and he admitted that. But here's what he said in conclusion before he was called back to get his adjustment. He said, in looking at the students in our school, I have to say, we're doomed. This was a high school principal, friends, soberly saying, we're doomed. Why did he say that? Because he said, if you look at the condition of America's high school students today, they know almost nothing, and they don't care. They know almost nothing about their heritage, and not only do they not care, they've been taught to despise it. He said, we're doomed. Now, those are not my words. Those were his words. Does that sound a lot like the twilight of patriotism, like Don Federer spoke of, the Jewish writer? I think so. But let's look at a broader picture concerning this, because it all relates to globalism, the new global order that is being sought to put into place. You see the trials of Donald Trump. Our purpose here is not to talk about Donald Trump in particular. No, that's only one manifestation of the globalist efforts to completely shut down all resistance to globalism. That's their number one beef against Donald J. Trump. Because he said, we're going to make America great again. They said, not so fast. No, we're here to tear down America. We're not here to make America great, because we're here to reduce America in the minds and hearts of we the people, so that America can be assimilated more easily and rapidly into the new world government order that George Herbert Walker Bush, our 41st president, a renowned globalist, together with the rest of his family, declared the new world order. In 1990, more than any other president, he's the only president to ever have declared the new world order up till that time. And over 200 times in his administration, he used those words. He said, it's as if there's a birth that's about to take place. Indeed, he was right. A consummate globalist who ultimately voted not for Donald Trump, the Republican, but voted for Hillary Clinton, the globalist. Are you beginning to get the picture now? Now let's shift from America and go to Israel. Here's the heading today. Is the International Criminal Court about to arrest Netanyahu? Israel's becoming increasingly concerned that the International Criminal Court in The Hague is preparing international arrest warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as well as other senior political figures and high-ranking Israel Defense Forces, officials. It's a continuation of the lawfare that reaches a previous peak when South Africa brought its case against Israel on charges of committing genocide in the Gaza Strip to the International Court of Justice, which is also based in The Hague, now at the end of 2023. Israel's foreign ministry has confirmed that a high-level meeting took place last night, at which Israel's current strategic affairs minister and former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, Justice Minister Yariv Levin, and Foreign Minister of Israel, Israel Katz, were all present. The purpose of the meeting? To shape a plan to prevent any potential arrest warrants, a prospect that, according to a local TV report, had rocked the Israeli political establishment. Imminent arrests of the leaders of Israel. Now, why would the International Criminal Court, a body of intense globalists, be interested in seriously arresting Benjamin Netanyahu and all of the leaders of Israel? Why? Because they represent, friends, the resistance of the New World Order. That's why. They're not going to bow and scrape to the commands of NATO. They're not going to bow and scrape to the commands of the EU. They're not going to bow and scrape to the commands of the United Nations or of the International Criminal Court. They are a nation unto themselves, a sovereign nation, and they say, we are not going to be governed by you. On the other hand, Joseph Biden, as the putative president of the United States, is doing everything he can to bring America under the jurisdiction of both the UN, NATO, the EU, and the International Criminal Court. In other words, under globalism. Are you beginning to get the picture? The so-called political election of 2024, the presidential election of 2024, is about one thing primarily. It's not the things that you hear talked about on the news. It's not primarily about the southern border. It's not primarily about the economy. It's not primarily about any of those things or abortion. It's primarily about whether we will have a government that leads us into the New World Order. Period. Now, those other things are part of the picture, but they're not the real picture. They're not the main thing. You will not hear. You will not hear Fox News. You will not hear Newsmax. You will not hear any of these other, MSNBC, CNN. You won't hear any of them talk about the globalistic intention of that election. No, it comes in other ways to accomplish that purpose. Because if they come declaring the globalistic intention, then the American people will be put on notice and say, we don't want that. But the American people have been seduced. We've been seduced by 50 years of education or disinformation being given to our young people in our public schools and in our universities and colleges to the point where they have no patriotic allegiance to their country anymore. Why? What's the purpose of it? The purpose of it is to prepare the way for America to be assimilated into the new global order. The spirit of globalism has taken over. know. You know then, just as the International Criminal Court is seeking to come after Benjamin Netanyahu and all of his leadership there, administration in Israel, even so, in America, we have the same kind of lawfare being carried out against Donald J. Trump. Why are they so desperate? It's almost as if they are in a frantic move to make the last-ditch effort to make sure that neither Israel nor America can resist the New World Order. Even though increasingly the leaders of Israel, both political and religious, are saying, look, the Bible has declared, going all the way back to Numbers 24, that Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. In other words, she will be alone. Just 2 weeks ago, one of the premier spokespersons in Jerusalem joined me here on this program and declared just those words. That the whole world is coming against Israel. It's not just Iran, friends. It's Joe Biden. It's the EU. It's the UN. It's NATO. All of them. And so we have this report coming yesterday from Israel National News. Here's the headline. To the world, the eternal message of Israel. Those that hate us will continue to hate us. Those that mean us harm will continue to cause us harm. But we will persist. Persist in what way? Persist because we are chosen people. So who are we in this country? Our founders, our earlier founders, not just our political founders, but our spiritual founders back in 1620, 1630, that our current politicians want to disavow, just like the city of Concord in Massachusetts wants to disavow the original founding of America with the Massachusetts Bay Colony and also with the Plymouth Colony. They want to disavow that. To separate us from any allegiance whatsoever to the flag, to the country, to our heritage. They want to strip away all value of a heritage. Heritage lost, all lost. No patriotism, no allegiance, and that is the specific purpose, my friends, of this educational system that has been carrying on for the past 50 years to undermine and destroy all of value in the history of this country. And then even want to rename the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The one that was just knocked down. Remember, they want to rename it because even that's an offense. Why? Because it reminds people of the national anthem. Francis Scott Key gave us the national anthem. It reminds them of the American motto, in God is our trust, because Francis Scott Key gave us that too. The Francis Scott Key Bridge must be renamed in order to remove all memory of anything righteous or godly in this country. Maybe that's why Joe Biden's education sheet is vowing to close a huge faith-based university. Yes, he is. We'll be
there
back.
Is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Report from the Jerusalem Post today, Netanyahu's stronger than ever since October 7th, according to new polls. That is a terrifying message to the globalists. And they must destroy him. So the International Criminal Court is seeking to issue arrest warrants, just as the Biden administration has done the same thing against Donald Trump. So the International Criminal Court is seeking to do the same thing to Benjamin Netanyahu and those who support him in Israel. Are you beginning to get the message? In fact, today, a CNN panel was debating about jailing Donald Trump. That's right. That's what they're all about. Gleefully talking about jailing Donald Trump. Because of the so-called gag order that he supposedly violated. And why the gag order? Because they don't want him to be able to speak when the entire country and its legal system has gone against him. They don't want him to have the right to speak. Those that are screaming for democracy hate democracy under God and want the rulership of a mob to basically legally crucify any person who will dare to stand against the rising globalist movement. That's where we are. That's why anti-Semitic incidents have more than doubled in America just this last year. It's all about coming against Israel to prepare the way for the new world order. People are not connecting the dots. They don't see it. How about this? This report came yesterday. Village Council in Illinois votes to remove the only Republican library board member because, quote, his ideas are unsafe, unquote. Now, what kind of ideas does Bill Nienberg, former member of the library board there in that town in Illinois, what was it that his ideas are so unsafe? Well, on Tuesday night in Downers Grove, a quaint Chicago suburb, the village council voted 4-3 to remove the only Republican, Executive Bill Nienberg, from its six-member appointed village library board, intended to make the library, as they said, more progressive. In other words, more in alignment with the goals of the New World Order. Nienberg was the only board member who did not support a drag queen bingo event for children at the library featuring a male cross-dressing stripper. The board's plan to spend approximately $160,000 on an anti-racism and also to replace the Pledge of Allegiance with a land statement which would declare that the town was formed on land stolen by white Christian men from the Indians was criticized by Mr. Nienberg. Are you beginning to get the picture? They cannot and will not tolerate anything that seems to support allegiance or any value placed upon the heritage of this country, particularly anything good or godly. And in another blow, Niedberg refused to put his pronouns on the library board's about page. In other words, he refused to comply with the pressure to adopt the new standards of the world order. It's happening everywhere, in large places and in small places. So before we look at Mr. Biden's education chief, who's vowing to close a huge faith-based university, let's take a look at the matter of globalism again. We've talked about this many times, but I think it's hard for a lot of people to comprehend that this is indeed the big kahuna, so to speak. This is the big issue of our times. It's the anti-gospel. Globalism, from the viewpoint of the globalists, is good news. Why? Because they think that it brings unity to the planet. The problem is that in order to get that so-called unity, you have to use a kind of violence to get it. What kind of violence might that be? Well, shutting down communication, shutting down viewpoints, shutting down universities, shutting down through force or threat of force, through lawfare or whatever means you can accomplish it, in order to bring every viewpoint into conformity to the New World Order viewpoint, which is supposed to be designed to unify the world and remove all differences so that we can be in unity. Therefore, by implication, that means that all religions have to be sanitized of that which divides. And that's what Pope Francis has been doing for the last several years. That's why staunch Catholics have been in strong resistance to Pope Francis, because they see what he's doing. They see his goal is to use the Roman Catholic Church through the papacy or the Vatican, which is a civil government, not spiritual, civil, to use that power and alleged respect among the globalists of the world, the non-religious of the world, to seduce them under the mothering wings of the Roman Catholic Church in order to increase the power, the global power and dominion of the papacy that already believes that it is the ruler of the world. That's what's happening. You may not like to hear that, but that is what's happening. And if you understand that, it helps to bring into, shall we say, a complete understanding of the greater picture of all of these developments that we've been seeing taking place over the past 10 years or more. Going back to 1950, 5 years after I was born, James Paul Warburg stood before the United States Senate, and here's what he said. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question, he said, is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Well, it's happening both ways, friends. Those who agree with it are consenting. Those who don't agree with it are being conquested, shall we say, through lawfare, pressure, threats, removal from their positions in their respective places of work, even shutting down Christian universities, whatever it takes to cut off the ability to resist the coming so-called peaceful world government, that the counterfeit Christ will come in to lead as a counterfeit Prince of Peace. Therefore, globalism is exactly the anti-gospel. It's against the very foundation of the good news of Jesus Christ that we purport to serve. And we know that world government has been the dream and dominion of men throughout the ages, up to now, going all the way back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, and then to the current trumpeting of the New World Order. So as the world leaves the fear of the Lord and God's way of government, it has to be replaced because nature abhors a vacuum. So the government that is replacing governments that were purportedly based on the fear of the Lord are not fearing God at all. They will lead to the ultimate fear of man, not peace. Peace is the utopian belief, but it will lead ultimately to the most horrendous violence that the world has ever seen. The so-called Pax Romana of history, the Roman peace, even as Christ, the Prince of Peace, was being born, it was a pseudo-peace, a false peace, versus the promised peace of Christ. Again, Rome is being restored. NATO is part of the manifestation of that. All the things with regard to the Ukraine and the admission of two or three new Baltic states into the United, into NATO, are rapidly recreating the ancient Roman Empire, just as the prophet Daniel said would exist in the final days, the final world government. Did Rome bless Christianity? No. It brought about tremendous persecution. Then, when the secular Roman government that was rooted in the Pontifex Maximus, the merger of church and state through the emperor, was transferred in about 400 AD to the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, and he became known as the Pontifex Maximus. And everything that was characteristic of the Roman Empire and its government became the defining characteristic of the Roman Catholic Church under the Pope. The scripture said that the government would be upon Christ's shoulder. Now, the papacy said upon its shoulder as a leader government.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
In order to more completely understand the development of globalism and where it fits in history and in prophecy, I would urge you to get a copy of a couple of my books. One is called King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. $15 will put the $20 book in your hands. The other is Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. That's a $22 book, yours for $18. So if you get both of those books, the postage and handling will be $5 for the first book and $2 for the second book. In other words, a total of $7. Whereas if you just get one book, it's $5 for each book. Now, you can get those right there on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Again, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling for one book, $7 for two. And if you were to, for some reason, be ordering more than two books, it will be $2 for every successive book as well. We're trying to keep those rates down. Actually, it's ending up costing us because the postage rates have gone up so much. Okay, so let's take a further look before we get down to looking at Mr. Biden's education chief vowing to close a huge Christian university. In 1990, September 11th, U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush stood before a joint session of Congress. It was like there was a fresh patriotism that was blowing across the country at that time. And here's what he said. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move forward a historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge, a new era. Well, that new world order, declared President George H.W. Bush, 41st President of the United States, is struggling to be born, he said. The opportunity that he was so eagerly desiring to seize was the building of a new world order. And over 200 times, that senior President Bush declared this new world order during his administration. It was historic. It was as if the world had become pregnant and the president of its reigning superpower was deputized to announce the conception long thought to be just the rantings of conspiracy theorists. No longer, friends. The birth of that new world order would come in the fullness of time, heaven's prophetic time, and Satan's false gospel hour to seduce the world. It would be man's glorious gospel of self-salvation, of utopian peace, of global safety without the God of creation and his biblical revelation. A substitute God would be prepared, designed democratically, without dogma or doctrine, offensive to a multicultural and religious pluralistic world intent on global unity. And here we are. That's where we are today. It's the unity fever, the emerging oneness. Even within the church, trying to carve away biblical authority in many respects in order to achieve unity. Yet Jesus himself said in the high priestly prayer of John 17 that unity was not the goal. Unity was the fruit or the byproduct of our being unified in the truth. Not unified in unity, but unified in the truth. You can read it there in John chapter 17. Our pastors have misrepresented it all across this country for the past 50 years, all in the pursuit of unity without truth, carving away the edges of truth in order to avoid any offense. Isn't that exactly what Pope Francis has been trying to do? Exactly. All right. Now, let's take a look at this latest. It came out yesterday. Biden's education chief vows to close a huge Christian university. Joe Biden's administration repeatedly has launched attacks on Christianity, mostly in the form of demands that even faith members promote his extreme agendas for abortion and transgenderism, topics that Christianity condemns. And when they're not attacking, they're expressing a total intolerance, as seen in the announced intention of Miguel Cardona, Biden's education chief, to shut down the nation's largest Christian university. Officials at Grand Canyon University, already targeted by Cardona with an unprecedented fine of $37 million, are charging that the Biden administration bases its decisions on a deeply held bias against Christianity. Is the Biden administration attacking Christianity? Well, it would certainly appear that way. It's happening not just with regard to this university. It's happening everywhere. Coming against schools. Coming against people who would embrace the faith. People coming against people who will stand for truth, notwithstanding the dictates of the Biden administration and of the so-called Department of Justice that has no intent to support justice, but is being used as a weapon to compel conformity to the new global goals and manifestations of the Biden administration. They can call it progressivism if they want, but the real goal is a new global order. That's what the so-called progressivism is about. The American Principles Project has launched a petition in support of Christian colleges because of the Biden administration's unprecedented attacks against Christian people and organizations. The school there in Arizona has pointed out that officials are continuing to make derogatory and inflammatory public statements that are legally and factually incorrect and not shared by any of the other 26 regulatory and accrediting bodies that oversee Grand Canyon University. So the school is demanding an immediate retraction by Mr. Cardona. They say the secretary's comments to the House Appropriations Committee were so reckless that Grand Canyon University is demanding an immediate retraction as they do not reflect the factual record in the case. He is either confused, misinformed, or does not understand the actions taken by his own agency, said the school. According to another spokesperson, the federal government's education agenda is punishing schools that do not conform to their progressive ideology. It's time we take a stand against the egregious abuse of power. The scrutinize and penalize campaign against faith-based institutions is not about students' interests or well-being. Rather, it's a part of a concerted effort to snuff out education choice and promote far-left values. That's a political term. The real purpose is to snuff out Christian values. It's critical that Americans are aware of this shameful campaign and that we do all we can to put a stop to it. Also, the Goldwater Institute has taken the Department of Education to court for refusing to turn over public records related to its massive $37 million fine. It's suspected that the records may actually reveal an intentional targeting of a successful university based on extraordinarily thin allegations. That's how they do it. They will grab one little thing and turn it into a mega message to justify their lawfare, to to justify the shutting down of everything that you do. And it's going to happen, friends, lest you think it's not. It's going to happen to churches. It already happened with regard to the so-called jab in COVID-19, didn't it? It happened all across the country. And people conformed, conformed, conformed. Pastors conformed, conformed, conformed. Some pastors actually said that if you don't take the jab, you don't love Jesus and you don't love people. They justified conforming. Was it all about interest in health and so on? No, we find out it was not about that hardly at all. It was about control. It was about government control. It wasn't about health. Because if it had been about health, then they would have recognized the true situation with regard to the so-called jabs that were well known not to be vaccines, that were known not to protect against getting the virus, that were known not to protect against transferring the virus to someone else. As Dr. Deborah Birx, wrote about in her book and exclaimed on national television. She said, I never believed it was intended to do that. But we were told just the opposite, weren't we? Why? Because there was a reason. What was the reason? To prove that the government could gain dominion and control quickly over the people that Abraham Lincoln said was the last best hope of earth. That's why. In other words, we the people have to be governed to the point by not by our own government, but by those who despise the foundations of our government. As John Adams, the second president of the United States, once said, our government was made for a moral and Christian people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our government isn't made for the kind of situation that's being promoted, was promoted by Barack Obama, that was promoted by Joe Biden, that promoted by the Democrat Party. It wasn't made for that kind of people. It was made for a God-fearing people, not a God-despising people, not a people who revered democracy, but a people who revered God and were able to and willing to function under a democratic republic, which the Democrats hate. That's why they despise the Constitution. That's why Barack Obama despised the Constitution openly, wanted to change it. He thought it did things just the opposite of the way it should be, that all the power should be in the government, reserving a few rights to the people, whereas our Constitution gave all the power to the people and reserved a few rights to the government. Joe Biden and his administration is in the process of intentionally seeking to overturn all of that. Why? Because they hate the God who made and preserved us a nation. They do not love Israel as a chosen people. They want to curtail both America and Israel as the final enemies of globalism. I hope you're listening. Get a copy of my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. $18 will put this $22 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. King of the Mountain, $15 right there on the website. Become a partner, friends. Do it today. Don't delay. We're seeking to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. We're not looking at things from a natural viewpoint. We're attempting to look at things from God's eternal viewpoint.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.